Shalom, Haverim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with the love of my life, Reverend Sheeta Crawford.
Well, Erev Tov and Shalom, saints of God. Tonight we will look at the ninth of Av, called Tish B'Av in Hebrew, which is this Sunday. And now that you all know what a day can also mean to God, we'll look at a favorite scripture of ours in Hosea as well. First, let's give him thanks and praise.
Abba, Father, we thank you for that special divine grace that saved our wretched souls. It is an honor to worship you and serve you forever and ever, for we are washed in his blood, born of his spirit, and are anxiously awaiting that trumpet sound. We pray for those who are called by your name to heal any malady, and please bring our unsaved loved ones into your glorious righteousness. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, how about an update on Israel?
Well, there's still no ceasefire, and President Trump has said, go ahead stronger and get this over with and dismantle Hamas totally. As well, last week, Israel has now openly declared its rightful sovereignty over Judea and Samaria, letting all know they have had the power since 1967 war to do so, but has been lenient toward the Palestinians, but no longer. Now they will use their own jurisdiction and laws.
And will even use their military to claim their rights.
Especially since France's Macron and now Britain has announced they favor a Palestinian state, and will confirm that statement at the upcoming UN General Assembly in September. But first, they held a meeting yesterday and today to get their ducks in a row to present a logical path to the 193 members expected to be in attendance that begins on September 9th through the 23rd.
Which just happens to be Rosh Hashanah on the Hebrew calendar.
Could they agree to sign a deal 10 days later on Yom Kippur?
With or without Israel's approval?
Yeah, because Daniel 9 doesn't specifically say Israel must agree, and the EU is the old Roman Empire. By the way, Rosh Hashanah on the Essene calendar is September 16th, with Yom Kippur on the 26th. Anyhow, we really don't know anything for sure. But it's very exciting to think about, and we'll just keep watching and hoping.
Meanwhile, humanitarian aid at the Gaza border is being limited.
Well, because the United Nations and Hamas want to distribute it alone, thereby confiscating it for themselves and then to sell it at high prices to the people, where Israel wants to distribute it directly to the people. And now has been pushed, thanks to President Trump, to cease fighting for 10 hours each day for the aid to come in.
Which is mostly Israel's aid stacked high on hundreds of trucks.
Right. So videos and pictures of starving children, it's all propaganda. And they just continue being displayed, usually kids that have an underlying illness. And then they blame it on Israel, which is really Hamas stealing it. And that's just a fact.
Iran still refusing any commitment to stop enriching uranium.
Yep, while they manufacture more ballistic missiles. However, there is a real movement picking up speed for a revolution against the regime.
Can they do it?
Well, it remains to be seen, for the Ayatollah's IRGC is demonstrating horrific attacks on any dissident. A recent rally was just held in Germany to pick up some more willing people to take part in the coup. And all the different groups, and by the way, they're not just Persians in Iran. There's many different groups, and they were all in attendance in Germany, and all agreed that the former Crown Prince Pahlavi should be the new president.
So, we'll see.
Yes, and by the way, it is said that the Ayatollah is very sick, therefore being reclusive.
the war in Ukraine is still happening.
Oh, man, I'll say. And Trump just cut their time to make a deal, or else. However, we don't know what or else means. And there are still attacks being done in Syria, in Ceuta, although on a lesser scale. Anyway, how long will Trump and the Arabs let it continue? The ex-Al-Qaeda al-Shara is not doing his job. More on all this next time.
Okay, you can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail in Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are always appreciated, and any donation will add you to our mailing list for our newsletters and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and newsletters are archived for your convenience. Okay, let's first address the Ninth of Av.
Yes, because we're almost there. The Ninth of Av is this Sunday in 2025, when they exercise deep mourning over some extremely important but tragic historical events.
Where they admit represents judgment and punishment from God.
They do, for their many acts of rebellion throughout history, as Moses did warn them about. And he laid out in detail from chapter 28 to the end of Deuteronomy. No argument that those judgments were from God, as only He could arrange them so perfectly, with all occurring on the same date throughout many years.
Let's quickly recollect those events.
Well, as you know, the Hebrews have been through many judgments, as in the golden calf judgment, but we're going to just go over the ones happening on the Ninth of Av, beginning way back in the Old Testament.
We'll begin in Numbers 13.
Yes, where we read about, number one, 3,000 Hebrews died as a result of their sin of unbelief in what Moses told them about the 10 out of 12 spies when they returned with a negative report about the giants in the land, so scaring the people they refused to go in and occupy, even though God told them to.
And that He would be their ultimate conqueror.
But they would not trust God, resulting in the decree that those left of that doubting generation would never enter the promised land.
Except the two believers, Joshua and Caleb.
Right. Instead, the rest would remain in the wilderness for 40 years until that unbelieving generation died off.
All that consequences for rebelling against their God.
Who, by the way, more than proved to them that He was the God above all gods when He took them out of Egypt and parted the Red Sea. This lesson applies to us as well. To have a trusting belief in God, even during the times of great trials of testing. Honey, would you read Hebrews 11, verse 6, please?
Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him.
Did you get that, saints? He rewards those who seek Him with diligence, not just haphazardly when you feel like you can spare the time. We urge you to stick to a designated time to know Him more by digging deeper into His Word. Don't just read it and move on. Anyhow, they believe that the death decree occurred on the Ninth of Av, since Scripture says it was the time of the first ripe grapes.
Numbers 13:20.
Which is around this time of late July or early August. Then number two, many centuries later, after Solomon built his wonderful temple, there came Nebuchadnezzar,
king of Babylon,
who also on the Ninth of Av began burning the temple, and it was gone by the next day.
Jeremiah 52:12.
Number three. So then, centuries later, not only had the first temple been destroyed on the Ninth of Av, So was the second temple.
Burned down by the Romans.
And it was called Herod's Temple because he wanted to make nice with the Jewish people, so he remodeled it and made it much more luxurious than did Ezra's boys.
But there's still more.
Number four, the destruction of Betar, which was the last fortress to hold out against the Romans during the Bar Kokhba revolt.
Who was the hailed military leader at this time for the Jews?
He was. And the Jews tried to stand up to the Romans, but in AD 135, they fell hard, which pretty much sealed the fate of the Jewish people. And then, number five, 1 year after that, came the fall of Betar.
Again, on the 9th of Av.
Yes, the whole Temple Mount area was plowed under, leaving only the western wall we see today.
But obviously, later resurfaced.
Yeah. And the Dome of the Rock was built around 690 AD, supposedly on the same site as the Hebrew Temple. But now we know probably not, but rather to the south.
Then, jumping ahead to the time during the diaspora.
Yes, number six. In 1290, King Edward I of England expelled all the Jews. And isn't it interesting to note that their prosperity drastically fell after that?
And then number seven, Spain did it too, 200 years later.
Yeah, in 1492, King Ferdinand of Spain also issued an expulsion decree, setting the 9th of Av as the final date by which not a single Jew would be allowed to walk on Spanish soil. No human person could arrange all these judgments.
Obviously, dates are significantly important to God.
Oh, that is so very true. Mm-hmm. And there's still more. Number eight, World War One, 1914, which began the downward slide to the Holocaust. That began on the 9th of Av. And in 1942, the mass deportation of Jews from Warsaw to Treblinka was on the 9th of Av.
Tell me God is not a date setter.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is why we can surely assume the rapture will be on a specific memorable date as well.
As in the next unfulfilled feast coming soon.
You think? So, devout Jews around the world seriously mourn, fast, and pray on Tisha B'Av. It is important to understand that out of all these occurrences, the Jews are most profoundly sorrowful over the loss of the manifest presence of God that dwelt in the temples emanating from the Holy of Holies to all of Israel. Of course, as Christians, we are the temple of God and Jesus, and we feel Him everywhere. And in spite of all Israel's faults, still, God's face is turned towards His land and His people,
who one day will find true salvation,
as Scripture declares. Mm-hmm. But right now there is a dimension of His presence that is missing to them since the temples were destroyed.
And why they want it restored.
Too bad they don't understand yet that Satan wants that temple too, for his own adoration and to be worshipped as their God. That will be done through the Antichrist. So again, we think it's important for our deeper thinking listeners to pay attention to see how God really does arrange events to occur on anniversary dates, as we have often shed light on. And again, just one of the reasons we believe He will come back for His bride on some anniversary date as well.
For sure.
For sure. And now let's get into a favorite eschatological scripture for these end times.
Let's do it.
By the way, a more detailed explanation is in our recent newsletter that went out last week.
Should you want to receive these timely letters in paper copy, send us a note to Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021.
Or through your email to Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net, as we are no longer using MailChimp for many reasons, and have therefore lost access to some of your email addresses. So just jot us a note, and we'll make sure you get back on our list.
Hosea 5:15 and the beginning of chapter 6, you know, that's such an amazing prophecy.
It really is, and one that's been ignored throughout the years. But chapter 5 begins with some harsh rebuking to both Ephraim, to the north of Jerusalem, and to Judah, to the south, for their harlotry, and will feel God's wrath throughout the years. And boy, have they. But in verse 15, Hosea, speaking for Jesus, says this:
I will return again to my place.
Okay, let's stop there for a moment. Jesus left his place in heaven to die for our sins. And here he says he will return to his place, which he did at his ascension, specifically 10 days before Pentecost, in what we believe to be the year 32 AD, or at the latest 33 AD, due to a calendar possibly being off by 1 year because there was no year zero. So it went from 1 BC to 1 AD.
But before we continue, we should explain why we think it was 32 AD.
We do. Mainly because when you look back at a 32 AD Hebrew calendar for Nisan's Passover.
And it is up online.
It is. We see he dies on what we believe to be true, a Thursday, which was Passover that year until sundown. However, the main reason others, especially later on by the Catholics, said his death was on a Friday, and only the year 33 AD fits the crucifixion being on a Friday.
Not understanding the Jewish feast days.
Right. Because that Friday was actually an extra Sabbath, also called unleavened bread, where the Catholics, and now mainline Protestants as well, think that Saturday is the only Sabbath day.
When even the Catholics have holy days as well.
They do. Mm-hmm. Besides, dying on a Friday just doesn't give the full 3 days required to fulfill the prophecy. Therefore, the scripture in John 19:31, where it does say Jesus had to come down from the cross before the Sabbath, beginning at sundown, was not a Friday, but rather a Thursday. And until sundown, it was still Nisan 14 on Passover.
So, Passover was not a high Sabbath.
No, that was the preparation day.
Uh-huh.
It would be the next day, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's an extra high Sabbath that began at sundown on Thursday. So they removed Jesus to get him in the tomb. And since sundown was about to happen, the women only did part of the burial ritual and would have to wait till daylight to better see. But it would have to be after both the Sabbaths. So that makes Sunday. Early morning to finish, but found the tomb was empty. Hallelujah.
So that year they had two Sabbaths back to back.
That is correct. So Thursday had to be the day of crucifixion, with Wednesday the night before, but after sundown. Turn the calendar to the 14th of Nisan, which is Passover, every year. So that's when they ate their Seder meal. So let's read verse 15 again from the beginning, where Jesus is speaking through Hosea.
I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me.
So, in their affliction, the word for affliction, the Hebrew word, is tsar, T-S-A-R, and that's number 6862.
And you know, it's only used twice in the Old Testament.
The word tzar, that's correct. Which, by the way, means extreme troubles. It's a term used for the tribulation, or Jacob's trouble, when they will all, as a whole, recognize their Savior. And that's confirmed in Ezekiel 38, verse 23, and Ezekiel 39, verse 22. And we know this war will be during the tribulation because we see the words, in that day. And that's used in Ezekiel 38, verses 10, verses 14, and also verse 19. We also know it will be during the first half of the tribulation, as they are saved in Revelation 12, 17.
When they flee to the mountains.
Yes, as Matthew 24 tells them to do when they see the abomination. And they will flee to the same area God protected them before when they fled the Pharaoh from Egypt. But this time, it'll only be for 3.5 years, not 40 as before. And this time, Yeshua, not Joshua, will lead them into the promised land. Honey, please read now what Jesus says through Hosea when he will return. But first, Hosea pleads with the Hebrews in chapter 6, verse 1.
Come, and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days,
meaning 2,000 years,
he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up.
So, after 2,000 years, begins the third day, since he left at the end of the fourth day from creation. And he's adding, that's also the day of our resurrection, which also means the rapture.
That we may live in his sight. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning.
It's a done deal as to when he'll return.
He will come to us like the rain, like the latter.
Or spring rains.
And former rain to the earth.
That's in the fall. Now remember, their religious calendar begins in Nisan. That brings the first rains of their year. Then the autumn season brings the next major rains called the former. In Hebrew, that word is Yoreh, Y-O-W-R-E-H, and it's number 3138. And that's also the first rains, but it's on their civil new year, which is in Tishrei, our September, or October. So in summary, bottom line is Jesus tells us he will return at the second coming in 2032, or as I said, possibly 2033. But when you subtract 7 for the rapture, means still possibly this fall season, or at the latest next fall, because of the different calendars. Remember, the Jewish calendar goes from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, meaning either this Rosh Hashanah or next Rosh Hashanah at the very latest. So stay close to him, abide in his word, and witness, witness, witness. As well, ask yourself, is Yeshua really Lord over your life? If you even wonder if you are an in-name only Christian, then get on your knees and make it right. I'll leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 6. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her will prosper.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address: Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address: Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.